Today's daf is Mem Hey. We're going to start at Mem Dalet Amubet, about 12, 13 lines from the bottom. Good, I saved this for today because most of today is tedious and details about sizes and shapes and which thing and where do we define the borders between different areas in terms of, just in terms of the Mishnah said certain things it's Nikei B'mashu, certain things it's Rov, certain things we're going to see other Shirim. So then when we get to borders between areas, it's going to be a question, does it go in that area or does it go in that area? And then the hole will be determined, the size of the hole needed to determine a trefa will be depending on where we talk about it. There'll be a bunch of different issues, but at least we'll start with something light. I'm Rav Chisda, Ezehu Talmid Chacham, Zeharo et trefa latzmo. Someone who rules that their own meat is a trefa, he's considered a Talmid Chacham because he's willing to have a financial loss. I'm Rav Chisda, Ezehu Sone Matano Yichyeh. Who is it said about? Says someone who hates gifts will live long. Again, zeharo etre fala atzmo. Okay, so we now said two things. Number one is considered a tamid chacham. Number two is considered sone matano yichye. Darash mar zutra mishmei d'Rav Chisda. Kol mi she, here's now a list. To me, it seems like one of these things is different than all the others. Kol mi she kore v'shone v'ro et trefa l'atzmo v'shimesh tamidei chachamim. Okay, right? You would think kore v'shone, he learns, right? He learns Torah, he learns Mishnah, and he shimesh tamidei chachamim. Those all seem in the same category. And ro et trefa l'atzmo seems to be something kind of a little bit different, but yet they're all together in this list. Alav ha-katuv omer, yigia kapecha ki tochal ashrecha v'tov lach. Right? From your hard work, you will reap the results of and you'll be happy. And it will be good for you as a result. Rav Zvir Amar, Zochev and Ochel Shnei Olamot, HaOlam HaZeh VaOlam HaBa, because Ashrecha BaOlam HaZeh VeTov Lecha LaOlam HaBa, right? They say those two phrases are indicative. One is Olam HaZeh, and Tov Lecha will be LaOlam HaBa. Rabbi Elazar Kiyav Mishadre Lemibe Nesia, Midi, when they would send him something from the house of the Nasi, Lo Shakil, he wouldn't accept it. And when they would invite him over, lo azil. If you remember, we had a little while ago about being invited and not taking invitations anywhere. Here you see the same concept. He didn't want to put anybody out. He didn't want to take any gifts from anybody, so not even to go for a meal. Amar lo kabay mar di'iche. He says, what, you don't want me to live? Dichtiv sone matano ichyeh. Right? This is a great, if you want to decline an invitation to someone, this is what you should say. What, you don't want me to live? Come on, so ne matano yichyeh. For Rabbi Zera, ki mishadre le lo shakil. When they would send him a gift, he wouldn't accept it. And this also sounds like all these diplomats, right? You're not allowed to accept gifts and all that, right? Ki haba mizamnin le, but when they would invite him over, azil, he would go. Okay, for an invitation to somebody's house, he would go eat. Amar, ityakurehu demityakru. In other words, it's a kavod for their... It's a kavod for people if I go to them. So I'm actually helping them. It's not just all about me and what I'm gaining, but they're also gaining, and therefore it's not a case of sone matano yichyeh, and therefore he was okay to accept invitations. Okay, so maybe you could flip that onto a person who tries to decline your invitation by saying sone matano yichyeh. You could say to them, oh no, but it's my kavod for you to come to me, and you're doing me a favor. Okay, now we're getting back to the nitty-gritty. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Nikva kinafa mitstarfin l'ruba. Okay, now we're going to talk for a little while about the kane. Okay, so now we have the kane, the trachea, and what happens? It has holes in it like a sieve, a nafa. Mitstarfin l'ruba. So remember we said psukata gargaret is rov. It has to be rov, right? So in other words, you have these rings, and if in one of the places of the rings, it's perforated, right? Half of it is kind of cut open, then, or a little more than half, then it's a problem. So what if there's these little holes all around? So what do they say? So we add up the amount of the holes, and if we get to rove with the little holes, then it's mitztaref l'rov. Mativ Rav Yirmiya. Rav Yirmiya now brings a question from the case of a gulgolet in an ohel, if you remember. Ohel, you're only mitame ohel if it's a whole body or a whole body part like a gulgolet or a shidra. So b'gulgolet sheyesh ba nekev echad aroch. Okay, if it has one hole, one long hole, afilu yesh ba nekavim harbe, even if it has a bunch of little holes, mitztarfim l'melo mekdach. it adds up to the size of a
hole by a drill.
A what?
A hole drilled by a drill.
Right, a hole bored by a drill. Okay. I don't know what kind of drills they were talking about in those days. Certainly not the drills that we have. They didn't have electric drills, but they must have had something like
hand,
a drill. Right, a hand drill. So since the shiur is a melom mekdach, that's the amount of a hole that's going to create a problem in the gulgolet, that it will no longer be metame ohel. So if you have holes, we can join a lot of the holes to fill up the shiur, right, and say, are these holes, if we added them together, would they add up to that amount? So hachanami kevan deshirei ki isar lichi isar mitstarfin. Now we're going to talk about the fact, okay, it says in the Mishnah, Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, if you want to look there for a second. Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. Eluk sheropi beima, nikvar gargaret onistika, ad kama techzar. Okay, in order for it to still be okay, how much should be missing? If you have the outside, okay, until now we were kind of talking about like the ring itself. But now let's say, okay, you have this cylinder made up of all these rings, and if you have some sort of a crack in it or a hole in it, how much of, what's the shiur? The shiur is an isar. What's an isar? So an isar was a type of coin. According to the Mishnah Nundalit, it's an isar ha'italki, because there were different kinds of isarim. There was a Greek isar, and it's just we don't know exactly what shape, what the size was. But we're talking about the size of a coin. It sounds very similar, by the way. All these things are very similar to dine ketamim of a woman, and she has spotting issues. Because again, we have the similar thing where if you have a bunch of different spots, are they mitzareif or are they not? We actually say generally they're not mitzareif if they're on your beged. We view them as separate. But there's some other things that are similar. And also we have the issue of that, you know, we generally say it's the size of a coin, right? And that's how people judge ketamim. Like they'll say, there's debates whether it's like the size of a shekel or the size of, so they use the same kind of thing here. So the size is ki'isar, which means that l'chi isar mitztarfin. In other words, just like the shi'or for the gulgolet was a melom ekdach, and when we say we add up the nikavim to a melom ekdach, right, we're going to add them up and come to the shi'or of melom ekdach. Since by a gargaret, the amount that would be missing that would create a problem is the size of an isar, then it should be mitztaref to an isar. So now we have a little bit of a problem, because we have, on the one hand, we talked about psukat or gargaret as rov. On the other hand, we talk about the size is an isar. So it's a little confusing now. So in other words, until now we said, right, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, nikva kenafa mitztarfin l'ruba. Rav Yirmiyah says, what are you talking about? It can't be mitztarfin l'ruba. It should be mitztarif to an isar, because that's its own shiur. And he proves that from the nikavim by the gulgolet. So now the Gemara answers, no. Ishtemitete hada am Rabbi Chelbo. When Rav Yirmiyah asked this question, he forgot about this halacha that Rabbi Chelbo said, Amarav, in the name of, Amarav Chama Bar Guria Amarav, in the name of Rav Chama Bar Guria, who said in the name of Rav, meaning if Rav himself said this, then his statement that Rav Yehuda said, Rav said, must have gone in accordance with this, which is that there's two types of nikavim, and that's why, and that's, we have Isar and we have Rov. How do we know which is for which? Nikavim sheyesh bem chisaron, okay, if they have a lot, if it's, okay, so now it's a little bit of a debate what exactly chisaron means. Okay, we're going to assume chisaron means that it's missing pieces of it. Okay, it's, right. In other words, what we're talking about here are two different things. We have the ring itself here. Let's just assume. Here's my markers, the cylinder. So the cylinder is made up of lots of rings. So until now, we assume that there's like a cut on the side of the ring. That's like some little holes, okay? For that, you need rov. That's ein bo chisaron. You're not actually missing a part of the kaneh. You just have these little holes. But if you have holes in the base of the cylinder, like on it itself, in the length of the cylinder, as opposed to these rings, then it's missing parts, and then we go by the size of an isar. We're going to see a whole bunch of cases about that coming up. So therefore, the assumption is, so nikavim sheyesh bem chisaron mitztarfin l'chi isar. Now the Gemara doesn't say this, but the assumption is if the halacha Rav said nikva kenafa mitzarfin l'rov, he must have been talking about these holes around the ring itself, which are not considered that they have a chisaron. Okay, in other words, the kaneh is not actually missing any parts. Amar Rav Bar Barchana, Amar Rav Yosho ben Levi. Nitzlahe mena ritzua. If it's missing a strip, oh, so now we're talking about the kaneh itself. A strip of the kaneh is off. Now, this is very similar to dinei ketamim. Now, a strip is generally long and narrow. Right? That's what you think of when a strip, a ritzua, like a ritzua of a belt, right? It's long and wide, long and narrow. So, if you have it like that, mitztarfin l'chi'isar, just like if you have a keten that's not perfectly round, but we say, oh, well, it should be about the size of a shekel. So if you have it long, so you have to kind of, you know, imagine that those parts, right, filled up a circle. So same thing here. It's the exact same thing. If you have a long, elongated ritsua that's missing, so you kind of shove it into, you know, the shape of an isar and see. If it's an isar, right, now isar is still okay. Any more than an isar is a problem. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani, Rabbi Yosho ben Levi. Okay, he asked Rabbi Yosho ben Levi a question. Nikva kenafa mahu. This is exactly the same question we had before, and we're going to see that it matches exactly what we said in the name of Rav before. Amar le haramru nikavim sheyesh bem chisaron mitzarfin lechisar v'sheim bem chisaron mitzarfin l'ruba. This was just to say that Rabbi Yosho ben Levi holds the same thing as Rav about this, right? Which is interesting, and just in the sense Yosho ben Levi was in Israel, Rav was in Bavel, and yet there's right there. They're saying the same thing. Be'of amai. What about an of? Okay, now in of, we're going to assume different shirim because an isar is very, an of is obviously going to be much smaller than an animal. And the size of an isar is not going to be a relevant size anymore because that's huge. So what do you do? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani, Ledidi mefarsha minei Rabbi Elazar. I heard in the name of Rabbi Elazar, Mikaplo uminicho al pi hakaneh. You take the piece that's missing, you know, you take the piece, I'm sorry, the piece that has holes in it, the whole thing is, to the holes, are they mitzarif to an isar? So what do? So imagine this is your kaneh, okay? You take the piece, you kind of cut it, and then you hang it in the open circle of the inside of the cylinder. And if you hang it in there, you see how big the piece that's perforated is, and then we say like this, okay? You minicha pia kaneh. Im chofe et rov hakaneh, if the perforated area covers the majority of the kaneh, of the, you know, that open space in the windpipe, trefa, then we say the animal's a trefa because it's a big enough size. Vim lav, and if it's less than half the size of the kaneh, kshera. Okay, this is a much more relative measurement, right? The isar is an objective measurement. Is it that size or not? This depends on the size of the kaneh of the bird. Amra papa v'simanech nafya. The way you remember this is to say nafya. What's nafya? A nafa, a sieve. Now, what's a sieve? You take, they took like the hairs of a horse generally or something like that, and they spread them over the open space of the kli, right? In other words, that's how you create a sieve. Oh. So here you spread the perforation, right, the perforated area over the open space, so that's how you remember it. Niftecha kedelet. Okay, what if it was cut on three sides and opens like a door. So you have, again, on the long, elongated part of the kaneh, again, not around the taba'ot that go the width, but along the length of it, you're missing a piece. A piece gets cut off, but it's still attached on one side. So it opens like a door with hinges. Amar Rav Nachman, Kadeshi kanes isar lerochbo. There's actually a bit of a bigger size because here you actually have to fit an isar into that space, which means it has to be a little bit bigger than the isar. Okay, so an isar has to go into it. Now, there's a bit of a debate here. I'll show you the pictures. What it means, kadeshi kanes ha'isar l'rochbo. Okay, so I'll show you good pictures in a bunch of places. But here, in the Koran, they have a good picture. So one is that it's opening. You know, the opening is kind of a long rectangle opening, and you fit the isar, you kind of put the isar in like that. Because it's unclear what it means, l'rochbo. Some people say you turn the isar on its side, and just the width of the isar has to go into the hole, and then it's obviously a much smaller hole that we're talking about, okay? And then it goes in the width of the isar goes in.
Or like you put money in a vending machine.
Yeah, that's a good example. Like you would put money in a vending machine that way as opposed to the other way. You know, like when you would put, or the way, if we're going to compare it, the way you would put it in a washing machine, right, where you put the coin flat and then it goes in like that. Yafet. Okay. So that's a debate here.
A stuck a box,
right. Okay.
That's a better example.
Yeah, more relevant, but okay. Amarav, afilu lo nishtayer ba ela chulia achat lemala vechulia achat lemata kshera. Oh, sorry, I missed the word nistika. Okay, that's the important word. If it's nistika, okay, meaning if it's cracked, okay, until now we've been talking about missing pieces. Now we're just saying there's a crack in the kaneh, the whole length of the kaneh, basically. Okay, the whole length of the galah, the windpipe, we have this big crack going from one side to the other. So, Amarav, afilu lo nishayar ba'ela chuliachat lemala chuliachat lemata ksheva. As long as, remember we said it's made up of all these rings. As long as it has, now this is, wait, what does it mean chuliachat? Okay, but I'll start with just the word. As long as there's a chulia on this side and a chulia on that side that aren't cracked, and just the middle part is cracked, that's fine. What is a chulia? There's a debate. Is a chulia a set of three rings, or is a chulia just one ring? So do you need one ring on either side, or do you need three rings on either side? Amarua, so this was Rav. Amarua kamed Rabbi Yochanan Amar ma chulia u ma chulia deka Amar Rav. Ela Eima, and what's this chulia? What are you talking about, Rav? Ela Eima, as he wasn't talking to Rav, he's saying, what is this that you tell me in the name of Rav? Ela Eima afilu lo nishtayar ba ela mashu lamala u mashu lamata kshera. He says it's enough for there just to be a little bit in the top, a little bit at the bottom. You don't need a whole chulia. Amarua kamed Rabbi Yochanan mishmed Rabbi Yonatan. They now brought this in front of Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yonatan said, exactly as Rabbi Yochanan said. Okay, so they passed down, they have Rabbi Yonatan, who had been living in Bavel, they passed to Rabbi Yochanan what Rabbi Yonatan said. Hachi Amarlu, so this is what he said to them, Yadin Chavrin Bavlai Leferushe Ki Haitama, my Bavli friends know exactly how things are supposed to go. In other words, kind of, I think he's a little bit saying against Rav, who's a Bavli, but here are Bavlim who know exactly what they're talking about. Tana Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef, Kamed Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef brings a braita in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Now we're going to talk about what the length of the tzavar is. We kind of discussed this the other day about the veshet, how far in you could go, and people said, how could you possibly go far in for shchita? And I said, maybe it comes out further, so here we're going to see it, certainly with the kaneh. Kol ha-tzavar kulo kasher l'shchita, mitabat ha-gdola ad kamfei re'ah tachtona. The whole neck is kasher l'shchita, from the Tabat HaGdolah. Remember now here we saw a whole debate about this. I think it was Yud Chet, certainly earlier in the Masechet, I don't remember, somewhere around the Yuds, where it was all about the Kova and the Midron, where it starts to get right angled up. Where exactly, we don't paskin by this opinion, but this says the Tabat HaGdolah. If you remember, there are all these rings that go around, but they don't go around fully, but from right above them, okay, and it's closer to the throat, there's this one big ring which actually goes full circle. So he says that's the part that starts to become kasher, whereas we actually paskin higher than that, where there's the kova and it angles up. Ad kanfei re'ah tachtona, until the wings, so to speak, of the lungs. Okay, the lung parts out into two, branches out into two, or and it has these two sides to it. So until you get to that part, hatachtona, the bottom part. Now this seems weird because tachtona is pretty down, right? That's not really near the neck. So what does Rava say? Amar Rava, tachtona shehiel yona. Tachtona really means the upper one, because it's when the animal is hanging upside down, which you might say that seems weird, but it obviously makes a lot of sense because they often hung the animals upside down, right? So when the animal's hanging upside down, it's the tachtona, okay? Meaning it's really the upper. It's basically where, this is why I said we're going to talk about boundaries here, where the kaneh hits the lungs, okay? So, Shani Omer, how do I know the tachtona shiel yona? Because I say, it's when it puts its neck out, when the animal juts its neck out to go eat, to go graze, that's what happens. The kaneh juts out more, right? Until basically the end of the kaneh will be in the neck area. Okay, this is what I said before, that maybe when you asked a few days ago, it seems things move around, okay? But you can't force it to come out. It's only if it comes out, then you could go that far, but you can't forcibly pull it out. By Rav Chanin, v'itema Rav Chanin, v'itema Rav Chananya, okay, Rabbi Chanin or Rabbi Chananya, you can see why they got confused, ask this question. Ansa atzma mahu. What if it forced it out itself? In other words, let's say it went even farther than that. Let's say it pushed it out even farther than that. What would you say? And the answer is teku. We don't know. Okay? And if the animal were to have jut out its neck, even jut out its the trachea, right, even farther that the lungs are even over there, would that be okay? We don't know.
What are they basing all these rulings on? Like, this is not Moshe Mitzrayim. Like, they're all making these decisions.
Well, it's like, in every area of halacha, the rabbis have to look around and see and use whatever knowledge they have. And that's why the whole debate becomes, what about if modern science proves otherwise? You know, and they use the knowledge they had and, you know, and making their decision. And that's the big debate. Well, once, if they're just using their knowledge, and we have better knowledge now that we, you know, we claim is better knowledge, then does that override their knowledge? That's
but
a whole big question.
It's all so subjective. Like, one says a whole this big is good, another says a whole this big is good. Like, who
right.
decides? Like, it's just okay? I know it's a bigger question, but...
Right. You know, and that was their assumption about what, and again, what was motivating them in all their decisions? Did they think animals could live with this kind of thing or not? How exactly they knew, I have no idea. Mm. Now, for us, this is much more complicated than it was for them, I think, because we have nothing to do with animals, generally, in this kind of, you know, at least I don't. Whereas I assume the rabbis, being that we see there were a lot of cases that came before them, they were dealing with this all the time. So I imagine they did have, if not a scientific sense, an intuitive sense. But again, you know, part of it's Masoret, and then it's definition of Masoret. Not all of this was passed down exactly like this by Masoret, but that's their job, to kind of take the Masoret and then
extrapolate.
Yeah, and figure out more details, because obviously more details come up than the basics. You know, where exactly you draw the line and how you...
So if this injury was so bad that an animal couldn't live more than a year, and that's the definition of a trait.
That's basically there. Again, there's a debate. Is it 30 days? Is it a year? You know, it's not... Even that is not 100% clear. So there's a lot... Like in most areas of halacha, not everything was... You know, most things weren't so clear. That's why we have 7.5 years of Dafim to go through to try to figure things out.
Okay,
yeah. okay. Yatev Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. They were sitting learning. Nafik milti mi benayu. And as they were learning, you know, the following halacha kind of came about and came out from their learning. Anas v'simanim v'shachat psula. Okay, if you force the simanim further out so that they would be in the neck area and you shechted there, it would be pasul. Nikev hakanel lamata min hachazeh nidon kirea. If you make a hole in the kaneh, it's in the kaneh under the chest, then already that part of the kaneh is judged like the re'ah. What's the difference between the re'ah and the kaneh? A re'ah, a nekev of anything, is a problem. In the kaneh, it's right, depending on which kind of nekev, it's either it covers rov or it's the isar. So you're going to see the shiur is different. Tana Rabbanan, ezehu chazeh, what's considered the chazeh? Now here it's a braita not relating to our issue. Here it's a braita relating to the chazeh that you're supposed to give to the kohen. The kohen gets the chazeh. What's the chazeh that you're supposed to give to the kohen? Which part is that? Zeharo'eh takarka. Okay, there's a picture in the Schattenstein, I believe. You can look. There's like a red area where it shows exactly what this is. Okay, so this is the ro'eh takarka. It's the part underneath the animal that when the animal's standing, it sees the ground, basically. Obviously, it doesn't have eyes, it doesn't see, but it means the faces. Exactly, thanks. Ro'eh takarka, limata. Now, how far down do you go? In other words, what... Now, that talks about, okay, the underside of the animal, but now from where to where? Under the body, right? So limata, again, limata is going to be really limala. Okay, in other words, the high point, which they say is the low point, because if you would hang the animal upside down, it would be the low point, is the tzavar, until the neck, and lamala ad keres, okay, until you get to the keres, that stomach part that we talked about. So from there to there is, those are the boundaries of the chazeh. And it's not on the sides where the ribs are. So the Braita finishes up and says, what you do is you take that area that we just described as the chazeh, and then you take two ribs, the front ribs, the ones closest to the neck, one on either side, because the ribs go on the side of the animal, and that whole part, the two ribs with the chazeh, go to the kohen. Okay, there's another issue of a chazeh with a shlamin where we don't include the ribs, but this is the one that goes to is the gift to the kohen. Nikev krom shalmach. Okay, this was the next case in the Mishnah. So now, what are we talking about when we say the krom shalmach? Because we're going to see that there's two kromim, okay, two membranes. Rav Shmuel d'amar chavayu, krama ila'a, af agav delo inkav tata'a. Okay, it means the outside membrane, even though the inner membrane, there's a membrane outside the brain, and then with inside the brain, there's an inner, thinner layer of membrane inside. So even if the inner one doesn't have a hole, if the outer one does, then the assumption is that the inner one will also end up with a hole because now it's exposed. And therefore, it's as if the inner one has a hole. V'amrela, some people say, no, ad inkav tata'a. Some people say, the Rav Shmuel said, no, it actually needs to be perforated both on the outside and on the inside. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, b'simanech chayata demitnach be mocha. The siman to remember this is, it's like a bag where the moch is inside. In other words, to remember that they were, I think the issue is, it seems to me that they were concerned that people wouldn't realize that there was a membrane inside. So they want you to realize it's like there's a bag, that the brain sits in a bag, basically. And here's another way to remember this. It's not exactly used to remember it, but they're telling you to highlight that this exists. Amar Rabbi Bar Chan, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, kinigdo bebeitzim nikar. The same things exist by the testicles. There it's noticeable. So they want to say, there's a noticeable outside membrane and inner membrane. So therefore, you should remember to the brain, it also has this inner membrane, even though you don't notice it. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapara, moach kol masha bekterah nidon kemoach. Okay, so now he says anything that's inside, okay, anything that's in the skull, inside the skull, anything in that area is like the moach that we say if you have any kol shehu nekev, we're going to treat it like the moach itself, okay? Anything inside the skull. That's what they mean by the kdeah, okay? It's a strange analogy. Hitchil limshoch. Okay, if it starts going out of the gulgolet, okay, then, and once you start leaving the skull area, okay, nidon kechut hashidra. Once you get out of the skull area, then already it's treated like the chut hashidra. That if you remember, there you need psikat rov of the chut hashidra. Okay, so again, like I said, today is all about demarcating where we, right, this would help if we had a body right in front of it. Exactly, a cow. That would be very helpful. But I think we're okay. Umehecha matchil imashech. Okay, so now they say, and where exactly does it start leaving the gulgolet? Amar Rabbi Yitzhak Bar Nachmani, l'didi mefarsha leminei de Rabbi Shoban Levi. I always told that Rabbi Shoban Levi said, kimin shnei pulin yesh munachin al pi akhtera, min apulin velifnin, kilifnin, min apulin velachutz, kilachutz, Pulin atzman eini yodea. So he says the area that we're talking about, there's these two, right? Pool, right? You ever go to a hummus place, right? They sell the pool, okay? Right? There's these two areas, these two like little circles, okay, that look like pool. Okay, here's a picture of it. Okay, they look like these beans, okay? And that's right behind the skull. And they say basically from there in is considered the skull, right? The brain. And then any nekev. From there out is bachutz. And those little circles themselves, I don't know what to say about them, okay? I don't have the halacha. Obviously, I guess you'd be machmir. I didn't look up halacha lamasa, but I assume you'd be machmir. No. And then he says, and we stab or kilifnim, right? And I would assume we judge them like lifnim, like I just said, we'd be machmir and judge it like, treat it like the brain itself. Rabbi Yirmiyah badak ba'ofa ve'eshkach kimin shnei pulim unachin al piyaktera. So Rabbi Yirmiyah actually tested this out, right? Classic Rabbi Yirmiyah, he always asks these questions, right? You can see him, oh, I really want to check this out. Does this exist? And he saw that in a bird, they have the exact same, right? He found these two pulim. Nikev halev lebeit chalilo. Now we get to the heart, okay? And we said, if it has a hole by the beit chalilo, which we're going to see, right? It means chambers, what exactly, which chambers we're going to see. By Rabbi Zera, lebeit chalal katan, O le beit halal gadol. Do we mean the beit halal gadol or the small, right? There's different chambers. So the assumption is that the halal gadol is the left ventricle. That's the bigger one. Amalei Abaye, Maiti Bailach, what are you asking? Milo Tnan, doesn't it say Rabbi Shimon Omer Adjetina Kev Lebeta Symphonot? Doesn't he say until you get to the Beta Symphonot, which is the right, so according to this, this would mean Amar Rav Bar Tachlifa, right, you have to go on a minute. Amar Rav Bar Tachlifa, Amar Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba, Amar Rav. Ad shetinakev l'simpon hagadol. Okay, to one of the big simponot. So now what do we say? Just like the way he explained Beit HaSimfonot meant the larger one, here also it must mean the larger one. Okay, and therefore he tries to explain that's the answer to his question based on the other case about the lungs and the simfonot. Hatam Leveda Symphonot. One second. So now they say, Hachi Hashta, are you going to really compare it to the Beta Symphonot? Hatam Leveda Symphonot Katani. Lehecha Dishapche Symphonot Kulhu. There it specifically says, Birabim, Beta Symphonot, which seems to imply to where all the Symphonot gather, which is the bigger one, which is the one that everything kind of comes out of there. But here it just says it's halal, it's chamber, which doesn't indicate where all the chambers are, right, where everything's coming out of. Mali halal gadol, mali halal katan. So we don't actually have an answer to this question, okay? Because he says, since it says it be yechidut, and by symphonot it said berabim, you can't really learn from there. Kanehalev, I'm going to explain by the opinion that assumes that what we're talking about here in kanehalev is the aorta, okay? The main artery going to the heart. Kanehalev, right? And as imagine a kaneh, like the windpipe, right? It's the thing that's parallel in the lev. So, how are we going to treat the kanehalev? Rav amar b'mashu, u'shmuel amar b'rubo. There's a basic machlok of Rav and Shmuel. Do we say mashu or do we say rov? So now they say, hey, niu kanehalev. What exactly is the kanehalev? Amar bar yitzchak, amar rav. Chelev sha'al tfano, al gabei tfano. It's where there's fat on the walls. So now they say, Tfanot Zalkadatach, but there's no fat on any walls here. Ela sha'al gabei dofnei re'ah. Okay, he says on the walls of the re'ah, there's fat there, and underneath that is the aorta. Okay, and in fact, the Koran claims that that's the case, that, and that's why they assume it's the aorta, because they say that's exactly where there's fatty substance there. Amar Amem Amishmeder of Nachman. Tlata kane havu. Okay, there's three different kanim there, three different arteries or right things that branch out into other things. Chad parish leba, one goes to the heart, that's the kane alev. V'chad parish le'reah, that's the kane, which leads to the lungs. V'chad parish le'kavda, one leads to the liver. Dire'ah kire'ah, de'kavda kekavda, de'liba pligi. So now they say, so the one that goes to the lungs is treated like the lungs in terms of laws of, you know, again, this is all about things that aren't exactly clear. How do we rule? So the one that leads to the lungs, that's the kaneh. We treat like the lungs themselves. Dekavda, the kaveh, we treat like the kaveh itself. If you remember the kaveh, we said you have to until it's entirely removed, right? Then there was a debate. Do you have to leave a kazayit or do you have to leave a mashut for it to be okay? Deliba, plig and the lev, plig, that's what we saw already. The one that leads to the heart is judged like the heart. That already we saw, that there was a machloke. I'm sorry, it's a machloke at how we treat it. Is it mashu or is it rov? Mar barachia ma ne'ifcha. He said dafka the opposite. Dire'ah kikavda. The one leading the kaneh, that leads to the re'ah, to the lungs, is treated like the kaved. And dekavda kirea. And the one leading the kaved is treated like the lung. Okay, why you would say that, it seems a little weird. And deliba plige. But the heart, he agreed with the first opinion that it's a machlok. Azar Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, Amar l'shmatak d'Rav kamei d'Shmuel. Okay, Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef brought the limud of Rav in front of Shmuel. And as he said to Shmuel, did you know that Rav said b'mashu? This, by the way, shows, and we've seen this many times, that Shmuel didn't know what Rav's opinions were. Right? We always think of them arguing, but half the time, Rav was in his Beit Midrash saying his things, Shmuel was in his Beit Midrash saying his things, and they didn't even know the existence of the other. So, and Rashi, in fact, says, the reason why I'm saying this here is because Rashi specifically says, where is it? He says, Right. Amr l'shmate d'rav, in Dibor HaMatzchil, Amr l'shmate d'rav, he says, de'amr b'mashu kamei d'shmuel, v'akati lo v'shmiele. But before that, he hadn't heard it. D'rav v'sura hava rosh yeshiva, v'hatam hu amr shmate te, u'shmuel hava ben harda. And as Rav is in sura, Rav is in sura, Shmuel was in a harda, and one didn't hear from the other, right? There was not such communication. So, Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef tells what Rav, you know, the limud of Rav in front of Shmuel, Amarle, ihachi amar abba, lo yada betrefa velo klum. If that's what Rav says, that it's b'mashu, he doesn't know anything about trefa. Okay, very harsh language. Nishbar hashidra. Okay, now we're up to the next case in the Mishnah, if the backbone is broken. Tana Rabbanan, chut hashidra shenifsak berubo, divrei Rebbe. Okay, Rebbe says it's nifsak berubo. Rabbi Yaakov amar afilu nikev, even if it has some sort of a perforation in it. Okay, so here there's a big debate, right? Is it nifsak berubo or any kind of nekev? So Rebbe said nifsak berubo. However, it says in this brayta, hore Rebbe to Rabbi Yaakov. But when it came halacha lamaseh, he was machmir like Rabbi Yaakov. And he said, oh, even if it just has a nekev, I'm going to call this a trefa. Because even though he thought otherwise, he wasn't willing to paskin and be, you know, he was worried that maybe he wasn't right. I'm a Rav Huna, but Rav Huna comes and says, by the way, even though Rebbe himself was machmir like Rabbi Yaakov, ein halacha ke Rabbi Yaakov. Okay, he says, we don't actually paskin that way. We say it's nifsak rubo. Vekama rubo. Now, how do we determine rubo? Because here also, okay, if there's the backbone, there's rov oro, and there's rov mocho. Okay, the or is the outer part of the chut hashidra. And then the spine, and the inner part is the marrow inside. So do we mean rov of the or? Okay, so Rav Amar rov oro. The Amrei La, but other people say that he said rov mocho. We would call the nerve tissue inside. Manda Amar rov mocho, koshken rov oro. If you say the majority of the nerve tissue, then obviously you'd also assume the majority of the outer layer. But the one who says rov oro, the question is, what would he say about rov mocho? Tashma, let's learn from here. De amar niyuli, I never heard his name before, from what I can recall. Niyuli, amar Rav Huna. Okay, niyuli said the name Rav Huna. Rubosh amru rov oro. Okay, what they mean is rov oro. Moach zeh, the nerve tissue inside, lo ma'ale v'lo morid. It has no bearing. It's not important at all. Rav Natan bar Avin havayativ kamei derav, badak birov oro. Okay, so he was in front of Rav. He checked rov oro. V'kabadik birov mocho. And then Rav Natan checked rov mocho. Amar le, Rav said to him, im rov oro kayam, moch se, no ma le, ve'el yom morid. It's as long as the rov oro is fine, you don't have to then go checking the rov moch. The rov moch is not relevant. Amar Rav Bar Chanan, Rav Yosheb ben Levi, nitmarech, pasul. Okay, what if the, assume we're talking here about the spinal cord, or one second, the moach inside. Okay, if the moach of the chushat shidra, the inner nerve tissue, liquefies, it's pasul. Nit masmes, pasul. If it softens, it's also pasul. Ezohi hamracha, what's this liquefying and be'ezohi hamsmasa, hamracha kol shenishpach kekiton. If you can pour it out like a jug, kim mismasa kol she'eno yachol la'amod. If it can't stand upright and it would start dripping out, then it would be a problem. By Rabbi Yirmiyah again appears. Eino yachol la'amod mipnei kavdo. What if it's very heavy and it can't stand on its own because of weight? So the question is, would that also make it considered a trefa because it can't, it's so heavy? Would that be like out of a disease or something? My, and again, the answer is teku, we don't know. Be Rav Amre, in the house of Rav, they said, nitmasmes pasul, okay, as we just said before, nitmasmes kasher. What does that mean? If it empties out, if it kind of got soft and emptied out, it's actually kasher. Meitive, now they bring a koshi on this. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, behemashedit mazmez mocha trefa. If the moch emptied out, it's a trefa. So what do they say? Oh no, don't worry from that source. Hahi nit mazmez itmar. It meant they're softened, it didn't mean emptied out. Ini, is that really true? Vahalevi avayati be'mesuta. Okay, now we're going to bring we've seen this before where they compare human beings to animals. So in order to learn about the animals, we use human cases. So there's a case where Levi was in the be'mesuta. He was in the bathhouse. Chazya lahu gavra, he saw a guy. Ditarye l'reshe, he banged his head. And what did Levi say? Amar, nit mazmez mocho didein. The brain of this guy is, emptied out. Okay? Lav delo chaya, doesn't he mean this guy's not going to live? In which case it shows nit mazmez would be a trefa. And he just says nit mazmez was kasher. So amar baye, lo, lomar she'ein omo lid. What he meant is that brain injuries can lead to, or a head injury can lead to infertility. And therefore, they're saying, it means that he's not going to be able to have children, but he didn't mean that he's going to die. Adhechan chud hashidra. Okay, where now do we measure the chud hashidra? If we're going to say nifsak rubo, so we need to know, again, where are the borders? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, ad ben haparashot. Okay, what exactly this means, big debate. Okay, at the end of, you can see the pictures again, if you have any sort of commentary here, they all have pictures. At the end of the spine, you see these branches that go out. Okay, these are nerve branchings that go out to lead to the thighs. Okay, so the question, the debate becomes, do we mean here the actual branches of the nerves, or do we mean the part of the spinal cord where the nerve endings branch off? Okay, so do we mean the spinal cord itself, or do we mean we're already off the spinal cord into these nerve endings? Which would mean basically that these nerves that branch off to a certain extent are still treated like the spine? Or do we mean even the sacrum, which is behind there, which is kind of past the end of the spine, but there's also different bones there. So do we mean the bones, nerve endings, which bones? It's a bit of a debate about this. So he says, Abana Parashot. Rav Dimi Bar Yitzchak Kava Kabay Lemeza LeBechozai. He wanted to go to Bechozai. Ad to the Kamei de Rabbi Yehuda. Amar le lichveli. So he was going on his way. Okay, he was going to Bechozai, but he stopped by. It should be Rav Yehuda. He stops by Rav Yehuda, and he says to him, like he's on his way. He's a little bit rushing, but he has a little bit of time. We'll see why he doesn't have enough time, or how it's obvious. Amar le lichveli mar bana parashot. Can you show me an example so I know what this means? Bana parashot. Where exactly we're talking about? Bana parashot hecha. Where is it? Amar le ziel aite ligdi va'achvelach. Go bring me a gdi and I'll show you. Aite ligdi shmena. He brought him a fat gdi. Amar le b'li atfei v'lo yedia. This one is too fat. Okay, I can't see. The fat is covering the area, so you can't really see. Aite le kachush. So he brings him a lean animal. Amar le b'li tantfei. The bones jut out too much v'lo yedia. You can't actually see the nerve endings. Okay, it's like too thin. You can't even see anything. Amar le, so he says to him, Ta agmarcha gamara. Okay, let me just tell you the masoret. Okay, forget it, I can't show you. This is why I assume he was a little bit rushing. It's telling us he was on his way to somewhere. He didn't have enough time to actually open up the whole animal and, dissect it properly. And that's why he says in the end, listen, you can't see so well, so I'll just tell you the way it works. Amar Shmuel, ad achat trefa, shlishit kshera, shnia eini yodea. Okay, he says like this. He says there's let's take the first three branchings out. So the first one is still considered a trefa. It's still judged like the chud hashidra. The second one, the third one will be kshera, because that's already away from the spine. But the middle one, I don't know what to say. Tomorrow, you'll start off with a whole slew of questions about this. What if it's right before the first, right after? In other words, we're going to get into some nitty-gritty details about, is it ad va'ad bichlal? Does it include? Is it not ad va'ad bichlal? Okay, so we'll stop here.